you, Debbie, for singing that beautiful song with great words. The Lord of the past, the God of the ages, the Lord of today and tomorrow, too, isn't he? Well, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 12 for a few moments. Hebrews 12, the first three verses, looking unto Jesus. And this passage follows chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is sometimes called the roll call of faith. And the writer of Hebrews had listed a whole series of great heroes from the Old Testament who had lived their lives and let God use their lives for his plan and for his purpose. And in that list are a lot of different characters. They weren't perfect people. In fact, you could look at every one of them just about, and there was something that was not quite right in their life at some point. But isn't that true for all of us? That's true for every person. And yet God used them in amazing ways. And after listing all of these heroes of the faith, then in chapter 12, following on from that, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore a reason, looking back to these great Hebrews and heroes of the faith, he says in the first three verses of chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So you have both a remembering here of the past and great heroes of the past. But then God led the writer of Hebrews to say, okay, having remembered the past and those heroes, now what about your life? We also, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us run the race that God has for us. Sometimes we want to just glory in the past. We want to think about the past and maybe think about the heroes of the past. We should think about them. And here on this Memorial Day, it's a time of remembering, isn't it? It started out as Decoration Day to decorate the graves of the Civil War dead. And then it became a time to remember all of the war dead from all of our wars. And it's also kind of morphed into, that is still the focus, but it's also a time many people go to the cemetery and decorate the graves of their loved ones, don't they? If they're close enough where they can do that. And we remember our own heroes, not just the war dead, but people who have meant a lot to us in our lives, maybe parents or grandparents, people that God has placed in our pathway, that have helped us to run the race that we are trying to run. And so it's a weekend for remembering and remembering heroes. When we think about those who gave their lives for our country, more than a million nearly 244 years of a history of our country, this coming July 4th, more than a million have died and lay in cemeteries all over the world. And this is one of the things about our country, is that people have not only died for our freedom, but for the freedom of other people, so other nations can be free. There wouldn't be any free places in Europe if it weren't for the people from this country and others that were willing to give their lives to liberate that part of the world. Same thing with the South Pacific. How history would have been different if our country had been indifferent to the suffering of those in other places. And so freedom comes at a great cost, and we're reminded of that, particularly at this time of the year. In Arlington Cemetery, there is the Tomb of the Unknowns, and now there are soldiers buried there who represent all of the wars of our country. And inscribed on there, the original tomb, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." Known but to God. But God knew them, didn't he? He knows their identity. We may not. And there are so many who have given their lives for our country. We'll never know their name, but God knows them. And that ought to be an encouragement today to you. Just as he knows them, he knows you. He knows your name. He knows all about you, about your life and your struggle and your service, just as he did them. Just one more thing in thinking about those who have given their lives for our country. I just want to mention the numbers. We can't read off the names. There's so many. But just the numbers who of the most recent conflicts who died. And think about these, not only those who died, but think about every one of them. They had parents and brothers and sisters, and some of them had wives and children and or husbands and children. World War I, 116,516 dead. World War II, 405,399. Korea, 36,516. Vietnam, 58,209. The Gulf War, 294. Iraq, the Iraq War, 4,497. And Afghanistan, 2,216. What a price, what a cost. And here we sit today worshiping because there were those who secured freedom and preserved it down through all of these years of our history. The very first amendment of our Constitution: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And then it also provides for freedom of press, freedom of speech, and the freedom of assembly. What are we doing here today? We're both worshiping, we are assembling, and we are speaking. And that is our right as Americans. But it's only ours because it was paid for at the outset, and it's been preserved down through all of these years of history. We must never give those away. We must never act as if they aren't ours. They are. These 1 million men and women died so we could have those freedoms. And then as we think about what it says here in Hebrews 12, we also have a great cloud of witnesses. I always think about almost like seeing in heaven, maybe a surrounding watching us like fans in the stands of some athletic contest, watching and cheering on those who are still running the race. I wouldn't take that literally. I don't know that the Bible tells us that that is necessarily happening, but it's alluded to here, isn't it? We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The heroes who have already run the race of life, and now we are running our race. We haven't finished it yet. But we will finish it, and we must finish it with endurance and with faithfulness. And so the writer of Hebrews says, therefore we also, we have a race to run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Did you know God has set a race before you? You're on your road, your race, to live your life in a way that brings glory to God and accomplishes His purpose, just as these great heroes of our faith have done. Now, these people are varied in who they were. In chapter 11, just a few of the ones mentioned: Abel, the one who brought the appropriate sacrifice to God. Did Abel have an easy life? He's in the roll call of faith. And aren't there some who teach that if you're doing what God wants you to do, everything will be smooth for you. It'll be easy. You'll have all kinds of money. You'll be blessed in every way, right? If you're doing what God wants you to do. Well, you will be blessed. But there's no promise that life will be easy. In fact, it's probably going to be hard. Poor Abel, he died, didn't he? Cain killed Abel. And yet Abel is listed here as a hero of faith. Your life may have some trouble. And that doesn't mean God is displeased with you. In fact, your life may have some difficulty precisely because you've chosen to do what God wants you to do and live your life in the way that God is leading you to live it. So take heart. It's not those who have had an easy life that are mentioned in the roll call of faith. It's those who have taken the race, the life that God gave them, and they've been faithful with it. Through good and bad, through ups and downs, through the mountaintops, and through the valleys. Enoch is mentioned, the man who walked so close to God, he just went on up to heaven. God took him, it says. Noah built the ark and survived the flood. Was that easy for Noah? Imagine building the ark on dry land. All of the people came and mocked him and made fun of him and told him how crazy he was. Well, they didn't think that once the flood came, right? Well, if you have been mocked and rejected and treated as though you're worthless because of your faith, if there are people in your own family who treat you like you're crazy because you love Jesus, you're in good company. Noah is in the roll call of faith. And so run the race with perseverance, the race that God has set before you. Abraham, the one who was known for following God by faith, and he was willing to leave and set out on a journey that he didn't even know where he was going, which is really a good illustration of life, isn't it? I mentioned to the first service at 8:30 on January 1st of this year, did anybody here, did you ever think that 2020 would be the kind of year that it is? Did you know that that's what the journey had for you? Did you ever think we would have every other pew marked off and we'd be social distancing and all of the things that we're doing? I don't think anybody thought that. Even the scientists and the experts, you go back and listen to what they were saying in late January and February, they were still saying, oh, this is going to be a big nothing burger. It's not going to affect us that much. They didn't know either. Though they want you to think they did, they didn't. Life is a journey. We don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. And so we're very much like Abraham, whether we realize it or not, who set out on a journey and God was leading him and he had no idea where he was going. We don't either. Do we know what tomorrow's going to bring? Or next month? Or 6 months from now? We really don't, do we? But we're on a journey and we're walking with God. And he's going to lead us every step of the way. And we need to be faithful in that journey. Great leaders are mentioned like Moses, the one who led God's people out of Egyptian captivity. But Moses didn't do everything right, did he? He made mistakes, but God used him anyway. And God will use you. He'll use me. He's not looking for perfect people because there aren't any. He's looking for people who will be submitted to him and be humble before God and who will let God use their life. We need to be those kinds of people. It's easy to throw stones at people on the journey. I marvel at the self-righteous know-it-alls of today who look back at the people who founded this country and throw stones at the things they did that were wrong, as if people today aren't doing anything wrong. How infantile the revisionist history by people today who want to sit in judgment as if they are God himself. Folks, we have our journey to run. It's not our job to throw stones at other people's journey. It's our job to be faithful and to let God lead us. And warts and all, failings and all, God will use us for his glory and for his honor. We have a race to run. Now, I was never a runner. Some of you may have been. Maybe you ran races in high school or college. If you're running a race, though, do you have time to stop in the middle of the race and look around and laugh at everybody else who's running and say, oh, they're not running their race the way they should be? Is that what runners do? You're so focused on the goal line, on reaching the end of the race, running your own race, you don't have time to do all that. That's how we need to be. Run the race, your race. God has a race for us, a plan for us. Let's be obedient in our own race and leave God to be God. Let him lead others in the race that they run. It's a lot easier to criticize others than it is to do what God wants you to do. We need to be faithful as God leads us. The writer calls for believers to get rid of anything that might hold them back. Laying aside, he says, every weight, whatever would weigh you down. Maybe these 2 months or however long this is going to continue, maybe we'll look back and see that God used it to help us to lay aside some weights, some things that we thought were indispensable, had to be a part of life, and it was taken away. And maybe we'll realize some of that we didn't really need after all. As I mentioned this morning, there was a poll yesterday, 43% of Americans said that they feel like they've become a better person because of what they've been through, because they're spending more time with their family, with their children, with their spouse. Many of the things that distracted have been taken away. Running the race without all of those encumbrances, weights, things that would hold us back. Let's run with endurance. Let's lay aside anything that keeps us from being the person that God wants us to be. And then looking unto Jesus, just like you see the tape at the end of the race and you see the runners pressing forward, trying to be the first to get there. They're focused on the finish line. We need to focus on Jesus, don't we? Because he is the author of our faith and he's the finisher. He's the finish line of our faith. He's the author because he's the only one who can save us. We don't save ourselves. Salvation is not our work, it's his work. And he's also the finisher of our faith. And praise God for that. And so what that means is, if you don't start the work, if you aren't the author of your faith, then you don't finish it either. Salvation, we say as Baptists, is once saved, always saved, don't we? Why do we say that? Because if Jesus is the author of your faith, then he's the one who finishes it. You can't lose what you didn't gain to start with. It's not yours to lose. It's his. And he never loses anything. And so when you give your life to Jesus and he comes to live within you, the author of your faith will finish your faith. You're going to get to the finish line. The question is, how will you run the race from beginning to end? Will you run with endurance? Will you run with faith, with strength? God wants us to run our race and to do it in a way that brings honor to him, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the final reminder of how Jesus ran his race. How did he live when he was on the earth? Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Remember, there was a cross in Jesus' race. Even the death of the cross. So when you're going through hard times as you run your race, remember that Jesus had hard times, the hardest of times. The sinless one became sin for us, so that we could have eternal life. There's no harder race than that. And so we can do what God is leading us to do, because the author and finisher of our faith, he will enable us. He will strengthen us and guide us as we go. And the victory has been won by him. It's an eternal victory. For the joy that was set before him, that joy was that you would become a part of his family and have eternal life. He was willing to endure the cross so that joy could become a reality. And now he has all power and authority. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God because of his victory for each of us. I wanted to close with the words of a hymn that we sing sometimes, because we need to live for Jesus. We need to live our life, run our race, and finish it in a way that honors him. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. Living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Looking unto Jesus, let's run our race. We celebrate heroes this weekend. who give us the freedom that we have to worship. And let's use that freedom to serve our living Lord and Savior. Like all of the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, cheering us on, that we might run our race to the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. We can never even put into words how marvelous, how wonderful you are and what you have done. And yet, Lord, we just humbly say thank you. And we ask you to be merciful to us who are sinners. We're all sinners. And we don't sit in judgment of anyone, Lord. And you didn't come to sit in judgment. We're already under judgment. You came that we might have life. You came to forgive us, to pay the price for our sin. So we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, your grace. If there's someone here today who needs to give their life to you, maybe they've thought about it many times, but they've never prayed and asked you to come into their life. May this now be the moment that they do it. Help them, Lord, to be willing to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I have failed. I have fallen short. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I now give my life to you. Lord, we know you will hear that prayer and you will do what you have promised, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, if there are other kinds of decisions that need to be made, maybe Christians, we've become discouraged in the race of life. Well, help us to take heart, Lord. Help us to leave here encouraged and ready to run that race all the way to the finish line with as much strength and enthusiasm as we possibly can. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves afresh and anew to you. Whatever you want, we pray your will now be done. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. And I'm going to ask you just to let God speak to your heart as we sing this song. And if you want to make a decision, if there's a decision the Lord's laid upon your heart, when the service ends, I will be at the door back there. And I want you to come and let me know. And we'll talk about that decision. And then we'll let the church know next week. But we just want God to have his way. Whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart, don't leave here until you do what God is leading you to do, as we stand together and as we sing.
Moment by moment.